Listeners be advised. The Holiloquy podcast discusses matters related to the human experience and many that are sexual in nature. Due to this, some conversations may surround triggering topics such as sexual violence, self-harm, abuse, and much more. Please be advised. A list of crisis and psychological resources will be available in the show notes of this episode. With that said, let's get started with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please, as we go through the following safety instructions.
In the event that there is a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the overhead. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Breathe normally as oxygen is flowing even if the mask is not accessible. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. This is your favorite host, Vernon T. Scott, also known as Slater Jackson. And for you freaky motherfuckers out there, Sebastian Adams. On today's episode, we are talking about you Nubian goddesses and gods out there, those who come from Egypt and those who are from Papa Legba and all Mother Oshun, as we fetishize your skin. We are talking about Black fetishization. So, children of Anubis, with me today, I have Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, we're both on our journeys of being sex coaches and just stepping out into the space and being beautiful and Black every motherfucking day because, you know, we was born this way. Are you ready to dive into this conversation?
You know, yeah, let's talk about this. I'm ready. I got things to say. Let's do it. Right.
Well, you know, before we really, really dive in, the people need to know who you are. It's season 3 and they need to go back and listen to all the things that you were already on and listen to the old episodes because come on, it's 3 seasons, y'all. There's other content for you to look into and do that. Do that shit. Join the Patreon too, because you know when you get to a limit and all the other stuff start coming off of the podcast playlist, you want to go to like, where did this all start? Who was Vernon's first guest?
A little behind the scenes, a little, you know, extra content and stuff. By the way, I am going to put this out there. Thank you for listening and taking my advice on that, because I feel like the people will appreciate it and love it the more you gain some followers and listeners. I myself, for the people that are from my crew and stuff that have listened to our episodes and things, they expressed that they would like some of the behind the scenes episode and the extra stuff that went into making these episodes. So I'm glad that you took my advice, friend.
Oh, yes, yes. Tell them to come on and join. I love to put the behind the scenes stuff up there. And I'm thinking about doing a lot more live things too. And this will be before season 3 even comes out. Like, well, you know, we are doing a live for Hovember, which yes, we have not scheduled it yet, but it's going to happen during November. And I'm sorry, y'all are hearing this after the fact, but it's happening in the month of November. And I plan on advertising this starting in like September too. So people can know, oh shit, this is an event that's going on. And yes, I plan on putting it on Eventbrite, making it free for people to join in and all this great shit, because look, we're having an event. When we talk about these questions, and there's that one question I cannot wait to ask. And you know what question it is? We talked about it a little bit. So if you need to know exactly what it is, just go back in those episodes for Hovember. It's going to be the last one within Hovember and enjoy that conversation. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. But anyways, Nicole, who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck am I? My name is Nicole Waldron. I am a sex coach and educator, just like Vernon said. Out here really to not educate just everybody, but definitely the people in our community. Just because there's been so much misinformation and just a lack of knowledge and freedom and sexual freedom. And I felt like, you know, being a person who's been affected by that, and of course seeing people around me that have been affected by that, it was something that I felt should be represented here. And I decided to take that on and, you know, do my part, see where I can help people out. So you can catch me on melanatedvixen.com. That's Vixen with two X's. At melanated_vixen on IG and melanatedvixen on TikTok and Facebook.
Yes, love it. Y'all better go ahead and follow her, support her. Everything will be in the show notes as well, because, you know, got to give my people their ups. And some people, I guess, don't like to like do the extra work. So I make it easy for you by giving you the links below. So, you know, that's what this is for. Do the right thing, people. Do the right thing. All right. So to dive into this, this conversation, one of the things that we talked about way back when we had the initial intake meeting was how we don't see enough Black people in sex spaces, be it in porn or even, no, excuse me, or be it even just having sex with each other, being sexual and loving with each other. We don't see a lot of that. So let's go ahead and tackle that first. What's up?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you know, it's funny because when we actually initially met each other was basically because of the same topic when we were watching all of that media for one of our courses for that conference weekend. And I mean, to paint the picture for everybody else, since Vernon and I already know it, to paint the picture for everybody else, we had to watch a lot of different media talking about different aspects of sex and things like that. And in this piece of media, it looked like, it almost looked like a fashion show, basically, except the men that were in this show, they didn't have any clothes on, they were fully nude, and they were carrying around, it looked like the same white bag, if I remember correctly. And they were just walking the catwalk in a circle, basically, and it was just nothing but white males. I don't know where it was filmed or anything, or where it was held or anything like that, and that might have something to do with it, but either way, I kept watching it and I said, you know, this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about, referring to a previous comment that he and I made. But this is what I'm talking about. Not enough. There's always a bunch of penis, but not enough dick. Basically, just saying there's not enough Black representation in things like this. Even if, regardless of what the show was for, which we didn't get any of that detail, we just got to see it, regardless of what it was for, all you saw was the same thing, no diversity in the men, no diversity in penis size or anything like that. And I was just like, there's not enough dick out here. And then of course, even more about other pieces of media that we were watching and things like that. And it came out that we just don't see enough of us in a lot of these spaces. And we, you know, and we wanted to discuss further, like why that is. And of course with being Black, I was going to say in America, of course, but just being Black overall, I mean, the amount of things that we've been told that we couldn't do, shouldn't do, or the amount of things that we in the community kept saying, like, this is not for us, or who's doing this shit, or whatever. But there's always going to be someone out there that's interested in something, right? And to find those people is like, you really got to go looking under some rocks and some real dark places, you know, some dark corners and stuff like that to find it, because nobody, they're not just going to be out here saying, oh, hey, I would do this, more so than you would find people of other races, especially someone who is white or just not Black at all. You would find them, it would be easier to find a person to say, hey, I like this, I like that, I like leather and, you know, whips and chains and whatever else, then it would be to find somebody Black. And then when you do find someone Black that are into these things that are not as common to us, finding that on tape or on some kind of piece of media is going to be even, it's going to be even harder, you know, because, okay, well, now you found me, but now you want to put me on tape. I mean, of course, there's going to be like, you know, people being like, I'm not really trying to do that. Porn stars, I mean, obviously they get paid to do a lot of this stuff, but, and I know we're going to tap into that here in a minute, but, you know, point being, like, you don't see a lot of that. But I would say even in even in a lot of porn, you don't see it. So let's talk about why that is.
You know, when you were talking, something that popped up to me, and I know, like, there's already the lack of diversity. There's also racism that's built into a lot of the decisions that's made. But I think of, like, if I wanted to have a specific fashion show similar to what we watched, and I wanted to have a standard look, I probably would go with white as well. Not like for myself, but like in understanding the decision, because it's easier to standardize whiteness than it is to standardize blackness, because you can really find similar hair texture. You can cut the hair a similar way based off of how most white people's hair grow out of their head. Even if they there's curly patterns, if you cut it short enough, it will have that same slick look, most definitely with men. With white women, it depends if you want, like, do I want all brunettes, do I want all blondes, or whatever the case is. You may even put in a redhead in there somewhere, but you can still style it similar to the same, like in a similar way, and it's easy that way. And you can just make this, okay, here's the look, keep that look and just keep it going on, because I want them to see the exact same person every time somebody goes down the runway. But with a lot of Black people, and I'm not taking in consideration facial features, when you bring in Black people, yes, you can try to focus on dark skin overall, but even within that, there's so much diversity within dark skin pigment that you're not going to find enough people that is the exact same color to standardize it. And then you have to think of the hair texture, because look, are you 4C, 1B? Like, where are you on this damn spectrum of this alphanumeric coding of hair texture? Where are you? So I kind of get it in that sense, but at the same time, it's a beauty to having the diverse look. Like, if I'm going to be styling a certain purse, like in that video, I want to see how that purse can be worn in different kinds of ways. So yes, put that on a light skin body. Yes, put that on a white body. Yes, put that with some curly hair. Can I walk outside with my badge on my waist and just like, bitch, I'm here? Like, give me the looks that shows that I'm fitting into that bag wear persona rather than standardizing it. So it's like, it's so much. Like, the amount of effort it takes to exclude Black people from media is ridiculous, because you always have Black people willing to do the work. You always have Black people ready to learn the lines, do the walk, learn this, learn that, just so that they can perform the job that they want to do. But you look over that for the most mediocre person, and this is not me trying to say all white men and white women are mediocre. No, but let's be real. Black people of color always looked over for somebody that is just basically mediocre. Mm-hmm. Most definitely when it comes to media.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I agree with your example about, you know, put whatever it is that you're trying to style or showcase on different bodies. I mean, that's, you know, if we're talking fashion shows and things like that, why wouldn't you want to market to the masses, but also make sure that while you're marketing, you're giving some kind of representation. And even if you're not covering all aspects of it, I mean, cover at least the basics, you know what I mean? So doing something like that would be better for every industry, I think. But yeah, just seeing something like that, like going back to the example, I mean, there was absolutely no diversity. I think everybody in there was, you know, of a certain height, and they were all white males. They were all I think they all had brown hair. I don't even think there was like someone who was blonde or someone who had black hair, and I think everyone had the same white bag, you know, or white purse or whatever. So I'm like, as much as this piece of media is just to show something, at the same time, what are we actually looking at? You know what I mean? Like, there was no real context of it at all. But I'm like, this is what I meant. Like, there's no diversity in here. There's no showcasing of, like, you know, oh, hey, you might like this, you might like that. And not just for Black people. I mean, what about people who are white and they're just like, I don't like guys with brown hair. You know what I mean? Or whatever. But yeah, you know, that's definitely something that I agree with you on. Like there needs to be more there needs to be more diversity and representation across the board.
And when you mentioned it, I thought about it. I think there were a couple people who had curly hair, and I think there was at least one redhead that was in that video. And there was a difference in the purses.
There was, okay. But
But
they
it
were all
was
white though,
they were all
weren't
white. Yeah, they
they?
were all
Okay.
white. They were all the same color. And like for me, thinking about that fashion show, I feel as though whoever put it on is like at the peak of their mediocre.
Mediocrity.
Mediocrity. There we go. Thank you. Like they're at their peak on that because for me, if I'm going to be putting on a fashion show, my job is to wow you with my talent because I want you. There was absolutely no message. Like for me, if I'm going to see nude, what is the statement here? And
Right.
then the fucking purses are not nude colored. Like, what are we like? White is not even considered on the nude spectrum. So what are we doing here? So
Right.
like, what
They're
was the
all like a
statement that you were looking to
shiny,
make?
they're all like a shiny leather white or whatever fabric that was, but
If you're going to be having nude, make statement with the nudeness, okay? Give me
yeah.
something with it. Not
That's
just here's penis, 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 penis,
what
penis,
a purse.
penis, penis, purse, 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 penis, purse, penis, purse. That's all you
Right, it
get.
was
What are
not
we
even,
doing?
yeah, there was not even, and there was no, you know, there was no, I don't remember if there being music. They were just walking
Just
quickly, just
walking.
in this circle. And I'm like, what am I looking at? What is this parade supposed to be? I don't,
And
so,
the penises
no.
were not even swinging.
They weren't like, what are we, so again, to your point, like, what did the nudity represent here? Like, what was the message for this? You know, you just wanted to do something different. Anybody could get that shit.
The Holiloquy podcast focuses on the variability of sexual expression. When it comes to sexual expression, we often depend on pornography to illustrate how one must perform sexually. For those who have not learned this by now, the stuff you see in porn is not real. Pornography provides a singular perspective of sexual expression that is not often the reality we see during our own sexual encounters. The Holiloquy podcast is a conversation that takes you outside of the compressed box of what many know about sex. Some of the topics we discuss includes kinks, condom usage, status disclosure, and past sexual experiences. The Holiloquy podcast steps out on sexual norms and recognizes that the norm is not the only normal. Subscribe today and join the conversation. We're not even swinging.
They weren't like, what are we, so again, to your point, like, what did the nudity represent here? Like, what was the message for this? You know, you just wanted to do something different. Anybody could get that shit. Like, that was dumb. So.
And I feel like the only time we really do engage with diverse media is whenever it's something that makes us comfortable, like in a broader scale. Like when you think about what's that show? Fucking ooh, what is it? What is it? House of the Dragon. We have the one black family, their royalty and all that, but they're also the ones that are dying the fuck out. Just to be real, they're dying the fuck out. They have white hair, which is fine. That's cool or whatever. I think they technically were supposed to have very shiny blue eyes or something like that based off of the books. I forgot. But at the end of the day, their validity comes from their proximity to whiteness because one, they are the oldest family in Westeros or wherever they originate from. However, they're treated as though they're second fiddle, like they're second class beings, that their involvement with the Targaryens is what makes them great. But these people have the ability to talk to the dragons too. So, like, but you know, the images of them and how they are portrayed provides a comfortable nature for the audience as a whole, because they are seen as being a little bit less than the other party, rather than we're on the same tier. And that
Right.
makes it a
You could
little bit
all fuck the
more,
dragons. Right.
and that makes it so much more comfortable for white audiences. And it's just like for somebody like me, you, or any other person that's in the black community that's looking at this, it's just like we could have done better with this.
Yep. But I mean, I think we as black people do that a lot anyway. We look at a lot of things that are put in front of us and say that, I'm like, dang, we could have did this a lot better, or they could have did at least X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm no professional, but you know, somebody, there could have been somebody else in the room. You know, do you guys have the right people in the room to make sure that, you know, the representation looks right, or the message is right, or whatever. You know, not just about, oh, are people's feelings are going to be heard about this, but mm-hmm. you know, what are we trying to say here? So, but again, if they're also trying to go according to, since this was a book series, are they trying to do things as close to what the book entailed, you know, especially if it was an older book. So yeah, I think we do that a lot. And then, you know, I was thinking about the whole Little Mermaid fiasco, just like everything else that comes out that is not real. Star Wars, you know what, the list is endless. I'm sure all your listeners could at least name two things, mm-hmm. but, or wasn't it even in Hunger Games or something like that? Amanda Stenberg's character or whatever. They're like, oh, well, why is she this? I'm like, why does it matter? Like, when things are coming from a book, a lot of times they don't even say that this is what this person looks like, or this is what their skin tone is, or, you know, like, this is what their background is, other than it's an orphan girl who, you know, lives in this mm-hmm. place, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't have to know, like, oh, she came from, like, because you're putting on your own preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. So whatever you imagine this person to look like is up to you. However, if the author or the people who are casting these characters pick someone who doesn't look like what you imagine this person to look like, does not make it wrong, number one.
Right.
You know, number two, if there's no real bearing on this person, if there's no real bearing on what this character is supposed to be portraying that their race would have a huge effect on or impact on, then what the hell does it matter? What does it matter? You know what I mean? Like, if they're saying, oh, well, we're going to have this person named Jody or whatever, this young female named Jody, and she lived in a downtrodden neighborhood, this, that, and the third. If they say things like downtrodden and her name is Jody, most people will be like, oh, this is probably a young white girl who lives in a neighborhood that probably isn't that great, or whatever the case is. But if you say it's a young girl named Michaela, because Michaela could be anybody at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So it's someone named Michaela in a downtrodden neighborhood, and then all of a sudden you have a young black girl on the screen, the first thing that they're going to see, or the first thing that a lot of people are going to think of, is, oh, Michaela's some black girl who came from the projects, or who came from, you know, the quote-unquote ghetto, whatever the case is. And that might not be true either. She might have lived in a middle-class neighborhood with the house has been there for two families or whatever the case is, but there was nobody to keep it up. So it might be the most dilapidated house on the block, but she doesn't look like whatever people are perceiving this to be. Like, I don't, so for all of these characters, like, oh, the Little Mermaid, but mermaids can't be black. Listen, let's not get into the history of black mermaids. And right. how that's been in African, you know, and Afro-Caribbean and Afro-Latino fables and stories and things like that for centuries. They've got words for them in all these different languages for a reason. So don't talk about there can't be black mermaids, there can't be black aliens, but there can be blue and green ones, so they can't have ones that look like us, though. Like,
right,
make
right.
that shit make sense.
Exactly.
Make that make sense. So it's almost like, and I promise I'm bringing this around. It's almost like they want, you know, their own people are only okay. The people who have an issue with those kinds of things, it's like it's only okay to see black people in certain certain perspectives. You know, the kind that it's either some kind of feel good story, someone, you know, started from this low class whatever, and then, you know, they had some white savior to bring them up. And all of a sudden it's a happy story because they beat the odds, if you will, or something like that. Or, Yeah, some kind of story in that effect, or, you know, oh, this is a black story, so white people aren't going to go watch it. Like, how many people didn't go watch, what was it, King Richard, the Venus, the story of Venus and Serena's dad? I want to know how many white people watched that, you know, right, or things like Stomp the Yard or all these other movies that are quote unquote black movies, as if you couldn't be still entertained by what the storyline was. It doesn't have to look like, you know, oh, they started from this low place and now it's this happy story or something like that. So yeah, I just don't understand why it has to be some kind of like white savior type of type of thing, or if it, or why it needs to be something that's like, oh, well, according to the books or according to the comics, like Spawn, for instance, according to this, like, we know from the gate that the character is supposed to be black. Black Panther, we know from the gate that they're supposed to be black. But you put someone who was never, it wasn't written that way to be like, oh, only white people, only someone who looks Caucasian or whatever could be in these kinds of roles or needs to be what this is. Why does it have to be that? You know, why does it have to be any of those things? Or, oh, that one black person that just kind of defies the odds and they're this wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous looking person and da da da. Like, why does it have to be only those boxes? Mm-hmm. Like, why can we not do everything else? Because, I mean, to be honest, I'm gonna be real, you know, biased here, but I mean, we are pretty much the greatest of everything. So, I mean, just be mad about it, I guess.
Right. Now I'm going to have to circle back to that because that's going into our next topic too. It's all about following the white script or the script of whiteness. But there are some things I do want to double back on. Like we were talking about someone being named Jody. Only thing I need to say, this is going off of the words that, to quote the words of Dina Jones as portrayed by Beyoncé Knowles in the whatever year that was of Dreamgirls. She said, I grew up in Detroit. I'm a sister that grew up from Detroit and I don't know no sister named Dawn. That's all I'm going to say on that. In a way, the names do kind of matter, but at the same time, it doesn't. You can still portray a person however you need to portray them. And it still is fine. Like, I really don't get why people be so fucking upset about a character that's completely fictional being a different race than what they thought themselves as being. Like, for The Giver, that film, The Giver, I saw most of those people as being of Asian background when I read it the first time, and then they made the movie and they just made everybody white, and I was okay with it. Because it's just a fucking movie. It's just
It's not my story.
It's not my story. Fahrenheit 451. I like the remake that they did because honestly, in my head, I saw that man as being black. Mm-hmm. And then here we go. We got Michael B. Jordan. It fit the script. I was like, okay, I'm okay with it. Why the hell is his wife white? And that was my only concern on that one. But at the same time, I'm all cool with it because it's a book character. They're bringing it to life. Everything's great. My life is not going to be changed because they made him married to a white woman. I really don't get it. Look, if you look at his dating history, it's predominantly black. So I'm not like, it's not a reflection of Michael
B. Jordan. Even if it wasn't, that really ain't got shit to do with us, you know?
Not one thing, not one penny at all. It doesn't take any money out of my pocket if he's dating a white woman. I don't give a damn. But but on top of that, I will say, just to go on the Hunger Games situation, I think the reason why a lot of people was outraged by the fact that Rue was black, one, they didn't read the book. I didn't read the book, but I know people who read the book like crazy. And they was like, why are they surprised? It clearly states that she and her brother are black in the book. It says they have darker skin. So it was there to begin with. So...
when they said darker skin, did y'all think that they were Italian or something?
Must have. So I'm like, I'm not seeing why y'all are upset. I really do not. Yeah. But like,
and I feel like that's a lot of it because there's been other characters that the same way. They're like, clearly you guys didn't read anything. Like this is what this is supposed to look like. Or in the book, there's no real. Description of what this person is supposed to look like. So who the hell cares what they, Anyway,
Look,
continue.
and
Sorry.
from what I heard and learned from somebody who reads Harry Potter almost religiously, Hermione's black. But that's something that's only mentioned once in the first book. And if you miss it, you miss it. That's on you. But even off of that, I feel as though the reason why there was so much outrage with Rue being black is for a moment. People who love the book and love that storyline and love that character, they cried at her death. And just to realize through a cinematic way that I've had feelings for the death of a black person, I'm now uncomfortable because let's be real. If you look at the society that we live in, Black Death is comical. Black Death is meaningless. Black lives don't matter to the majority of the population because they've been fed this notion that we deserve to die for just what? Breathing?
Anything, yeah, anything,
So
really.
you force me to feel some type of way for a character in a book that I saw as white and I felt empathy for, and now I'm seeing this character in front of me on the screen, and they're going through the same thing, that death that they were exposed to in the book, now on film for me to see, and now you're forcing me to have emotions for this person. I'm triggered.
Right. Let's call it what it truly is. Triggered. For no and for no reason. But I mean, well, I mean, not for no reason. I mean, I guess for a good reason. But yeah, like now you want to act out. And let's, you know, there's so many people that are white that that's what a lot of their actions are. You know, they're making a physical outward reaction to whatever it is that's going on. Mainly their uncomfortability with so much things. So, and that's the unfortunate part because we get labeled so much for so many things that we supposedly do and how we do things and stuff like that. And everything, you know, and I remember being younger thinking this, and I was like, why is it that everything that you're saying that we do or don't do or whatever the case is exactly what y'all do and don't do? Like, why are you projecting in that way? As if we don't, as if people don't fucking see you. Like we see you, you know, we see you not working. We see you know, being violent and choosing violence immediately. We see you doing all, you know, over-sexualizing people, over-sexualizing yourselves and all of these other things. Like, why does this have to be, oh, this is what they are? I'm like, no, my guy, that's you.
Look,
That's you. So
I have yet to meet an actual lazy black person. Yes, I've seen people who just don't want to work, but I also know that those same individuals have a lot of trauma to them, but they still do whatever they can to make the money that they need. But it's like I've yet to truly meet a black person who is actually lazy.
Yeah,
Yet
it's
that's the
hard to
narrative.
it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to find. And like you said, usually there's been some kind of trauma or something when they're choosing to not do something, you know, to really not do something. Whereas, you know, the others is quite the opposite. They really do give the they really do portray the Webster's version of what lazy looks like. So
Like
yeah, I
I
agree.
had this it was actually a very good conversation. It was this dude who was very well racist and like calling people niggers and all. And I was at a bar with some associates, let's put it that way, because I don't know these people like that. But and this person was just like going on and on and on about how he hates Jews and all this other stuff, and how this these certain people need to die and all this other stuff, and how he's comfortable with killing people and all this other shit. And I was like, I need you to like, do you understand what you're saying? But you're over here trying to say black people are dangerous, and you do not hear exactly what you're saying. And
They're very dangerous.
I got to we got to a point where I was like, all right, so what is the difference between everything that you said and all the actions that you described? How you're talking about you know how to build a bomb and all this other shit, and like know how to blow people up and get away with it. Okay, with all of that, what is the difference between everything that you said and black people as a whole? And he literally was like, oh, black people won't do anything like that. Yet you're trying to act like we're the ones that, like, sir.
Make it make
You
sense.
spend all this time trying to say all these negative things about Black people being dangerous and all this other shit, yet you can still acknowledge, oh yeah, but Black people won't do anything like this.
Right. And then I would be like, all right, so let's take it back from the top then. So why do I, so why in your eyes do you feel that Black people are dangerous? Explain it to me.
Explain.
Give me your top three
Right.
as to why they are dangerous. Now, after you give me that, how are they more dangerous than literally anybody else?
Right.
What makes us the exception other than this is the stereotype that's been portrayed for, well, ever. So like make it make sense. Y'all are the most dangerous group in America are white males. So congratulations, y'all always want to win at something. Congratulations, y'all take the number one spot for that across the board. So leave us out of it.
And before anybody who's triggered by this fact, do not go to statistics to say this, that, and a third. I'm somebody who, look, I have a whole ass doctorate to statistics at least 4 or 5 times. In each, except for one, I passed with an A. One of them I got a
Well,
C.
besides that,
So,
just do your Googles and go ahead and see what that statistic is.
yeah,
So,
the stats, the numbers that you see on these bureaus, the FBI page, and all this other stuff, statistics do not have context, and not all stats are rooted in reality. So listen to the people who are telling you what the problem is, and then just sit in that, absorb that, and understand that this is not a personal attack towards you, but you, there's some reflection that you need to do, a little bit of critical thinking. Like, just listen to Black
critical
people. That's
thinking.
all I could say. Listen to
Cr
Black
critical
people.
thinking, critical thinking is very important. And I think it's something that's, you know what, never mind. We're not going to get into that because that's going to be a rabbit hole for sure. But
Right. But
critical thinking, yeah, for sure. But yeah, going back to what you're saying, like that's something that is, it's just having a conversation with somebody and letting them speak and then just saying, asking those few pertinent questions, and you're just like, so let me go ahead and poke the holes in the theory for you after now that we've let you talk, because I want to see you try to backtrack and give me some kind of facts, because that's usually what they want to hear. And then when they don't hear those facts, then they just, start screaming outlandish shit. So yeah, like that's the kind of stuff that we have to constantly deal with. And part of the reason why I wanted to make sure that the effects of those kinds of things are why we as a Black community are so behind in so many different things. And not behind necessarily, well, not always behind in a bad way, let's just say, but we're slower to know about certain things because we just never felt like we could be in these spaces or could do these things or have the freedom to think or do in these different ways. So that's part of, for me anyway, why I even wanted to get into sex coaching. Because there was such a lack and I'm trying to catch us up so we could be out here thriving even more so,
That part.
But I mean, let's go back to what you were talking about as far as the narrative for media being very white centered. I know that was something that we talked about before. But yeah, let's get into, can we get into that for a moment?
Oh, of course, of course. Like when it comes, even if it comes, when it comes to how Black people express themselves sexually in this media, Black people are often more animalistic in how we engage in sex. It's a very violent look. Even when it comes to the porn that we watch, where you may have a big black dick inside of a teeny weeny white woman, and how that's a thing that people love. And when you think about interracial play, interracial sex, that's one of the first things most people think about is that look. Even the language that is the BBC or the BBD, if you want to use the language that we use, because I don't know what a cock is. I know what a dick is, okay?
I
But
mean, right. Polygamy, for me, that is the male chicken, the rooster, if you will. That is what I know it to be. But
Yeah, to
yeah,
each
as
their
far as this
own.
whole, yeah. As far as this whole penis thing, like every time I hear it, I'm just like, oh God, it just doesn't, it's yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue right.
Look, if somebody says suck my cock, I just cannot. I'm allergic to that. I cannot. I just cock I
Exactly.
will not do. Cock I will
That
not
will
do.
not. I will not do that. I mean, and I think it was my first episode on this podcast. I believe I said something like that. I was like, it's dick light in so many different ways. And I can't really get with that. No,
I feel like you just called me the N word when you said that. Like,
yeah, also that I'm like, it just
your cock.
You feel degraded. Yeah.
What did you call me, bitch? Hold up. My ancestors were not.
Right. I shall not be doing this. They do not like that word. Right. If you're gonna call it anything other than the dick, it just say penis. Just call it the medical term and that's it. Please just don't
say phallus for all I care. Like,
there's so many different words, and all the writers out there know it.
Can you massage
words for that?
Can you massage my glands with your throat?
My
sure, I can do that.
The member, you know, member's a good one that's been used throughout writing history. I can't do the C word. It just, I always make a face after I say it. Like, that's how that is. I'm like, bro. Yeah. I don't even like using cock ring. I don't like saying that. I'm like, C ring, D ring. Like, that's because since I deal with toys and stuff and have to do those, you know, presentations, I'm like, I don't really like that.
Look, that's the only time I use the word cock is if I have to say cock ring. Honestly,
I say C ring.
I like your approach. I need to do that. It's more comfortable. Do you have my C ring? Do you have my D ring? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm yes. not going
for that. Mm-hmm. I like the way you think. Smart, thank smart. You. Listen to Black Women.
You're welcome.
But yeah, like the way that we are shown in these spaces, like, yeah, I kind of touched it a little bit earlier about, you know, Michael B. Jordan having his white girlfriend, but that's also one of those things that makes Black men more acceptable on TV, because it's acceptable to have interracial love, but not just Black love in a popular media platform, unless these individuals are struggling like hell. Like, let's go with Empire had a very strong Black following. It had a huge diverse following, let's just put it that way. A lot of white people know about the show, they love the show, they enjoyed watching it, but at the same time the family itself was struggling like hell. You had a son with the mental illness. Like, in terms of narrative, they did a great job by bringing mental health to the forefront so that people, most definitely Black people, could have these conversations, because we have family members who are just like Andre. But you know, you talking about that, you're talking about the trauma that they're going through and living through that, and at the end of the day they're still going off of the gangster narrative in most of the episodes, because Black people are gangsters, Black people are thugs, this is how Black people can only be popularized, this is the only way that they can make money, because look, they're rapping about drugs, they're rapping about the bitches, they're rapping about the hoes, they're rapping about sex. This is the only thing that Black people are supposed to do in order for them to be successful in basketball. You cannot be a successful doctor, because guess what? Bill Cosby, he did his thing. He did his one shot, and that's all that matters. You cannot be a police officer that actually holds your other fellow officers accountable. We had Carl Winslow. He did that. There was some backlash, and he was able to change the force a little bit. But at the end of the day, you had that moment. We don't need that no more. You cannot be you cannot be anything else. You cannot be an accountant, because I don't know if there's any of those shows out there. You cannot be an engineer or game designer, because look, we had Lawrence. Not the, no shade towards Issa.
Listen, no shade we're not towards gonna Insecure. Don't do Lawrence like this.
Because that was a good ass show, and I would give them that needed to be a lot more popular. But if Lawrence's character was in another film or show, he would have been like, take Insecure, change him up, make Issa a white woman. Bet, you know, that show was going far. She left the black man.
Still have some seasons. Yeah, exactly.
She left him behind because he wasn't doing what he needed to do. She's doing her thing. He's still over there struggling. White woman living her success with another black man and all this other shit. She's doing good. Mm-hmm. She got her friend Molly. And, you know, mm-hmm. Molly might be Asian. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In terms of you're right. That might be... That might be the diversity on there. And you know what? And instead of Frida being the one, you know, the white woman and we got y'all, Frida might have been the black woman, the token black woman in there.
Yep.
And we got y'all.
They would have changed her name to Keisha.
Yeah, probably.
Or Tasha.
Probably. Or something. Yeah, something.
You know what? Because of the premise of the show, it would have been Sasha. It would have been Sasha. And they would have made her with all the attitude. Think Molly's fervor on Frida.
I could see that.
That would have been a good show in a way. But at the same time,
probably, but yeah,
it would have got so much more. It would have got so much more, and it would have been fair to drag Lawrence as much as he needed to be dragged, and then he would have got dragged a lot more,
probably.
And all of his failed relationships with black women would have still been the same thing, because it's not about, you know, proximity and the community of it all. It's now about black women cannot hold down a good black man like this white woman can.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that was just, now that you said that, I'm like, oh.
The narratives, girl, the narratives.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't think of it that way, but yes. I could see it.
But it would have been such a good show.
It would have been a good show, but it also makes me sad right now because I actually absolutely love Insecure and
just too.
The characters and everything like that. So, I mean, granted, I wouldn't be surprised if someone tries to come down the line pretty soon and tries to remake this and make it their own. Yes, I'm talking to you, friends. Trying to make a show like Living Single and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I could see some of the same things. But you're right, though. I mean, you know, if you change it up that way, that would have been one of those shows that probably would have went on for some seasons, for real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, I don't blame Issa for cutting it where she did.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she did it at the right time. Although, you know, I was genuinely sad. I was in tears for sure. Like,
yes.
You know, I actually waited to go through the last season because I knew it was going to be the last season.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like it was definitely an emotional thing, but
it was,
you know, I think that the same thing would happen if it went on for another 2, 3, 5 episodes or 5 seasons. You know,
I think
the same thing would happen. Would have been even more so invested just to see the development of the characters and how things went and stuff like that. Like, yeah, we would have definitely been real invested in that. But it was a great show for the time that it was on.
I will say, from the first episode, I knew somebody was dying. I just didn't know who. I was just like, y'all are playing too many games with this death shit. Like, what? This foreshadowing is too heavy. Like, I'm worrying. What the fuck is happening here? I'm scared. Is somebody in
like this dark cloud? I see it. We're having good times, but I see that fucking dark cloud. Where are you going?
What's going on? Where are y'all okay as a staff? What is happening?
Right. Right.
But I will say, I love that because it's an all-Black cast, those narratives did not have a weight into that, because it's no longer about, what's his name? Lawrence not being able to hold a job or fit in a certain narrative about Black men or anything like that, because you get to see everything else, because you see successful Black men, like Lawrence's friends. They just like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? You get the actual conversations of Black men checking each other about you need to do better and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. You get healthy conversations. You get fucked up situations. You get horrible ass things that happen out of nowhere. Like, honestly, I'm still team Daniel on that situation when he said, I'm about to come and she didn't move. That was on him. Poor joke. Give that to him. That was a horrible ass joke. But he did say, bitch, I'm coming.
Right. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Because when you keep your head there, I'm thinking, bitch, oh.
Like, oh, so you, this is where you want to be, clearly, because you ain't moved the inch yet.
Not one inch.
Clearly,
so
where you want to be.
Y'all can fight me in the comments if you want to. But all I'm saying, go back and listen to it. There was a warning.
There was.
Still a horrible comment. First time.
Yeah, like it wasn't your first time. Like, come on. Or maybe we don't know. Maybe her and Lawrence didn't do things that way. Right. Maybe that's why. Who knows? But yeah, like, girl, he told you. He told you. What are you doing? Like, were you waiting? Did you think there was a time frame? Everything. Anyway.
Like, and the greatest thing about that show, it taught people how to have these tough ass conversations with your friends as well as with your partners. Like that shit between Issa and what's his name, Nathan.
Oh man,
when they had that conversation about why he was ghost and all this other shit, and they just went into, I was like, bitch, please fuck this man, please marry this man, please get together with this.
I loved Nathan. I mean, honestly, I loved all of those characters for different reasons, but yeah, Nathan, I was just like, come on, make it work with this one, please. You know, so I get it. I definitely get that. And I was like, at least he came out and was like, I'm fucked up for, you know, for ghosting, but I didn't tell you that I had X, Y, and Z going on. And I should have said something, and you know, I think we can all agree about the reasons why we love those shows. But like you said, like being able to have those conversations with your, you know, with your friends, with your partners, whatever, like we don't get to see that kind of representation in real life. So to have a show like this, like, hey, if you're between the ages of this and this, and you haven't gone through this yet, but you probably will, or maybe you're in the midst of it now, or maybe you went through it before, you know, hey, I'm here to say, everybody go through this. We all go through it. These are the different things that might come up, or the common things that might come up. How do you approach it? Yes, life is hard, but we still got to move forward. You know, this might not be the conversation or exactly how you have your conversation, but the point is, like, you still should have it, or it's still necessary. And these are some of the things that could happen with it. You know, you're not, just because it doesn't look like what you think the portrayal of a friendship and a relationship should look like or anything, doesn't mean that it needs to just end or it needs to be a toxic situation. That's the other thing, like, you know, our generation now, or like the biggest things now, is about toxicity. And that, I mean, it's not a good thing. You know, oh, what's my toxic trait? Okay, sure, find out what your toxic trait is, but what are you going to do with that? Like, don't be like, oh, that's just my toxic trait. Like, that's just not a good thing. Toxic means, toxic in its most basic form and definition means bad. It, like, means it's poisonous. So why would you want something like that in a healthy relationship to begin with? If you are wondering what your toxic trait is, and you're like, oh, my toxic trait is, you know, when I don't get enough attention, this is when I start ghosting people or whatever the case is. And I don't necessarily mean it, but that's the shit that happens. Okay, so now you're aware of it. So how are you going to make that better for yourself and for your relationships, personal relationships and romantic ones? How are you going to make that better? Don't just say, oh, it's my toxic relationship, and that's just what you're going to use as an excuse for poisonous, terrible behavior. Use it, you know, use it for what, how you can become better. So
amen to that. If you have not watched it, watch Insecure, y'all. It's such a great thing. And I will say, before I go into the last topic that we need to discuss, that show did not fail me. It failed me 3 times, I will say that. But I accept where it failed me, because it's still, like, all the great things within the show outshines those 3 things. The first thing they failed me on is the episode with the condoms, because I was like, why are we bringing in condoms to discuss sexual health, which I loved, but then we don't see the condom being used throughout the entire episode. Like, what was the purpose of that? Like, just skip the damn conversation if we're not going to do anything with this. Somebody wear a fucking condom. See, if they had a condom Issa was giving Daniel fucking head, we would not have been having this damn fight. And that was the same episode, if I remember correctly.
That is okay. Funny. I didn't even think about it, but you got a good point.
I was pressed.
You got a good point.
I love the conversations about Black people and sexual health. We always need to do it. The other thing that really, really does hurt me that they didn't do is have those conversations of Black men in therapy. Yes, we understand Nathan has mental health issues and whatnot with him being bipolar. We probably bipolar 1. I don't know what bipolar 2. We need to figure that out. But we acknowledge that he has a mental illness, but we don't have the conversation about him going to therapy or even any other male in the show going to therapy. Yes, Black mm-hmm. women in therapy. Great. Love to see it. But I know this is not Issa's job to do it because it is primarily focused on Black women. But when you introduce characters like Lawrence and all of them, and they have their individual episodes and segments and all of that, it becomes a Black people show. And mm-hmm. to not have those conversations, yeah, we're holding Black men accountable, but not to have the conversation of somebody going to therapy to seek help, it furthers the narrative that Black men don't need it. So mm-hmm. that is my main issue, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And the last one, which doesn't exist anymore because I completely forgot it, because that was the one major thing. But what was it? Damn, I forgot. It's not important, but I had three at one point. Oh, I remember. It was the conversation about dude that Molly was seeing who hooked up with another dude when he was younger, and then the biphobia kicked in, and then conversely, the homophobia kicked in. Like,
oh, right.
I hate that nobody had a conversation to check Molly on the fact that, girl, you're being silly. This is something that he did as a teenager. It doesn't mean he's gay. But mm-hmm. I do like later on in the season, in the series, they brought him back with another woman. They're actually happy and loving each other, and it's great. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it's like, we don't have that conversation of addressing, bitch, you was wrong.
Yeah. Like, right. Black, I mean, the best part about that in the episode was just bringing some real shit to light. Like, that's how a lot of people, especially in our community, you know, think and feel, you know. But to your point, yeah, you're right. Like, nobody checked Molly and was just like, man, like, I understand your concern, but at the same time, you gotta be silly and let this man, like, explain himself and explain who he is. Because, I mean, if the role was reversed and you, Molly, had, you know, the stereotypical moment in college where you experimented with another woman, but mm-hmm. you know, you're just like, that was just a one-time thing or whatever, I tried it for a minute and it really ain't for me, I actually like men, you know what I mean, like, I figured out that that's not for me. How come we as women are allowed that, but men are not allowed the same kind of thing? Like, why does mm-hmm. it need to be an all or nothing? Why can't there be and I hate to really say a gray area, but you know, why can't there be that kind of leeway? Why can't anyone experiment and really figure out, you know, really figure out what's for them? Because if he just had an attraction to somebody, you know, there could be so many different factors that played into why that was for him. And then, of course, being sexually attracted to males versus romantically attracted to them, you know, is a whole nother layer. For male, mm-hmm. for men and women, you know, for anybody really. So if he was just trying to figure that part out for himself and is just kind of like, oh, you know what, I'm good off that. So, you right. know, when it comes to relationships, I'm team hetero and that's just it. I just had that one time where shit kind of felt good and it happened to be with a guy and, you know, and that was it. But I'm good off that now. Mm-hmm. So why couldn't he be afforded that same level of understanding that women typically get?
Mm-hmm. You know, that this also kind of goes into that last topic too that we were going to address. And the way I have it in my notes is the identity politics rooted in Black sexuality. White people are watching. So but essentially, when it does come to how we express ourselves, we allow a lot of space for white women, white men, a lot of people outside of the Black community to express themselves in a homoerotic way. You can see white men doing things that you're just like, these motherfuckers are giving gay, and you're mm-hmm. just like, but that's white people shit. And yet, if we don't give that same space and freedom for black men, like what you were saying earlier, like, we don't do that, we don't provide that, because what would the white people think? What will mm-hmm. What will their gaze now have towards the Black men, the Black community? That's like when people say, oh, the problem with homosexual sexuality in the Black community is because they're making Black men seem feminine and all this other stupid shit that does not really make sense, because they're mm-hmm. looking at the Black experience through white lens. I don't care what the fuck a white person has to say about what the fuck is going on in Black business, because they shouldn't be minding it. They need to focus on all the shootings and shit that's going on over there, perpetuated by a lot of white men in the terrorist mm-hmm. stuff that's going on. That's on y'all to
and
deal
their,
with.
And their fears and lack of understanding and all of these different things. So, yes.
But with my conversation with the niggas here, look, if you want to talk about what the hell is going on with black men and all this other shit and the feminization and all this other stuff, okay, let's talk about what's really hurting the black family. What about the sexual assaults that keep going on towards black women? I know mm-hmm. there's a lot of white people and other people, other races that's perpetuating that, but guess what? A lot of black men do it as well. Are we mm-hmm. going to talk about that? Because I think that's the thing that's hurting the black family more than anything else. Let's talk about the misogyny noir, because you know we have to be fancy and put that noir on the end so you know it's black misogyny.
Listen,
how that exists so heavy.
Don't do that to us. It sounds, it's not only that it sounds great, it is, that is what it is. Black misogyny.
Facts.
But like, don't do us like this for being.
Let's
creative.
Talk about it. Let's talk about it. That exists. Yeah, there's a level of that that does also exist and is perpetuated by black women. But come on, mm-hmm. that it stays there because of black men as well. Until we're mm-hmm. able to feminize ourselves, I guess, actually be able to care about each other, actually provide empathy towards our other experiences and see each other as just brother, sister, cousins, family, and just relinquish those, the ideology that we've been bred into and indoctrinated into believing. Oh, I think we can get over a lot of those things that's impacting mm-hmm. the black community, because come on, a lot of our problems extends from outside of us, but we can yeah. fix it internally if we choose to. And it's not because a motherfucker is queer, sucking dick, or anything like that.
Right, right. We got bigger problems.
We got bigger problems.
Definitely. They need to be addressed, for sure. For sure. So, I'm sorry, did you want to go ahead and get into the last topic? I was going to say into the white topic, but into the last topic, because I think my question or whatever is more closely related to that than
That's it. Again. We're in it. We're in it. What's your question?
We in there? Oh, okay. We in there. So going back to thinking about like porn and how aggressive we are said to be, like living up to that, like portraying that same stereotype as far as like when black people have sex, just like talked about in a previous episode, like black people don't have sex, we fuck, and we do, of course, mm-hmm. but does it always have to be as aggressive as we've been told that it is, you know? Mm. Like not to say that different levels of aggression in sex is not wanted or needed in at sometimes, but again, you know, what about what, like, when's the last time you saw any piece of porn with two black people just passionately kissing mm-hmm. and not even kissing for like 10 seconds or whatever before the camera cuts to, you know, whatever is coming next, but like just were they passionately kissing for 2 minutes? That wasn't in just a regular ass movie, but just in porn, especially like amateur porn. When's the last time you saw like sensual shit like that portrayed? And like it's almost like we've been forced to see all of these different things, like black people don't kiss or black people don't make out or we don't do this, we don't do that, we just go straight into fucking. And once again, mm-hmm. yes, we do if the moment calls for it. But we just don't get a chance to see ourselves unless we ourselves make those pieces of media. Where do we get to see us being softer? Where do we get to see the love, the affection, that kind of attention, you know, attention to our partners and things like that? I mean, thankfully, we've got things like Instagram and TikTok and couples actually making those like, oh, you know, I love my husband, I love my wife, my partner, whatever. And you get to see those softer moments, which is great. But what we've been fed for so long has been part of that fetishization, you know, mm-hmm. as far as like white women loving, you know, white women and white men, you know, wanting that black person to pretty much check off that bucket list, if mm-hmm. you will. Right. And and just being like, oh my God, I was with a Black person. I had my first Black guy yesterday. Like, do you have any idea, you know, growing up in a place where the schools are predominantly white, mm-hmm. do you have any idea how much I heard that, you know, I mean, not maybe not even directly to me, but, you know, being part of the conversation, but, you know, overhearing stuff like that and knowing what was going to come next. You know, I had two friends who one was full white. The other one was like, I think white and Native American. And, you know, I remember we went to, what was it, like a male review show or something like that. And they were just so shocked, you know, because they're like, oh my God, did you see, you know, his thing? Like, it was as big as my forearm, blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, that's right. I forgot you guys are not a part of this. Like, this is somewhat normal. Like, Black men are statistically bigger, not to say that, you know, there are not others that are more in the average range, but yeah, like, and they were just like, oh my God, they were so, like, you could see it in their face, and you can tell that there were things that they wanted to say, but because I was there and I was pretty much watching them, they, you know, they pretty much knew to be careful with what they were about to say next, but still, they still said things that were just kind of like, oh my God, I would love to be with a Black guy. Oh my God, I can never do this. Da, da, da. And just like that, the whole Black fetishization. I had, you know, same mm-hmm. thing with some guy that was white. He was just like, I've never been with a Black girl before. And, you know, I think it would be, and whatever he said after that. But that first, I've never been with a Black woman before, a Black girl before. I was like, and I'm not about to be your first one. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not about to be her because, you know, even if there is a genuine curiosity as to how I differ from the white women that you might have dated, you saying that alone already brings in for me, like, I'm already thinking about what you're about to do. I'm already mm-hmm. thinking about all the questions that you're about to ask me that I really don't want to be answering. I'm like, oh my God, is this what you guys do? Oh, well, I didn't know. Or I have to say, I'm sorry, you as black people, this is what I do. As a pretty mm-hmm. woman, this is what I do. You know, and I mean, yes, that might have to be said, but it's just, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to explain why something upset me, mm-hmm. you know, where if I was with somebody who was Black or even of another race, but understands the cultural differences between a person of color and person of that is not of color. I don't have to explain those differences as to why I would be upset about something that I saw or something that I said. And, you know, like, it just makes it a worse situation. But at the same time, for me, I feel like I'm not necessarily wrong, but I feel like I wouldn't be giving that person a good chance either, because if they're genuinely wanting to learn and understand and like me as a person, but they're just like, just so you know, I've not been with anybody Black, so there needs to be a learning curve. I'm not doing that person any justice by being like, ah, no, because now I've got my own preconceived notions about it. So, but I mean, at the same time, I still don't want to, because I just feel like I'm going to be fetishized in one way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, they're so exotic. Oh, I didn't know your hair can do that. Oh, did it. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be, you know, your science projects, you know, or your anthropology projects right now. I don't want to be that person for that. And that's where, you know, and that's where, I mean, there's definitely other Black women who are stronger than me and we'll do that. That's great. Good for y'all. Good. Yeah. Love that for you. But for me, not so much, you know, but I think it's just because of, I've seen how we are fetishized, you know, and even with friends that I have that are white, that like Black men, you know, I have one that is very conscious and very aware and, you know, says all the time, you know, and she asked me, she was just like, she tells me, she's like, I had to think about this the other day when I was looking at this person, or, you know, as I was saying that I like this person and saying to myself, like, oh my God, am I looking at this Black man as a fetish, you know, and really had that conversation. But how many white people do we have that actually do that though? You know, I mean, I'm glad that she did, but you know, she wants to actually learn, but how many people do we have that are conscious of that and are just like, no, I'm not trying to look at you like the bucket list, you know, the check off of the bucket list or, you know, or whatever it is. So I just feel like because of that fetishization, like we've been fed so much stuff in media and, well, shit, not even media, just all around that make portray us a certain way, and we've fed into that for so long that, you know, now it's a detriment to us. Now we don't get to see, like, it's okay to be soft. It's okay to, you know, actually not do this, or it's okay to like kissing, or it's okay to make out with somebody and take things slow and all this other kind of stuff. It's okay to not, you know, sitting here pounding the shit out of somebody. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that for sex to be enjoyable, regardless of who you're with, you know? Exactly. So I just, yeah.
I say you said just about everything that needed to be said on that topic, because I agree with you 100% all over. I was actually thinking, should I make this into a part two? I'm still debating about that. But I would add about, like, there's, I just sent it to you. I know you might see your, yeah, it's called Black Touch, BLK Touch. And yeah, that's a website that actually engages in the erotic side of sexual experiences of Black people. And I recommend it for anybody who wants to see a lot more of that content of Black people being soft with each other, because that is not the narrative. That is not the thing that is really pushed. And I feel as though a lot more Black people need that permission to be soft, because softness is a line with weakness. And because that's where it is, you don't want a lot of Black people across the board don't want to be seen as weak. They don't want to be seen as somebody that another person can take advantage of. But I'm sorry, you're Black in America. You're already somebody that's capable of being taken advantage of, because guess what? You're oppressed. Okay. Here we are. Full circle moment. There you go. So regardless of how you express yourself sexually with your partner, it is okay. It's fine, because other people are not in your bedroom. It is okay for you to be soft, like you were saying. It's okay to kiss, have passion, be intimate and empathetic with your partner. It's okay to do that with your friends. It's okay to do that with your family members. It's okay to do it with your homeboy, homegirl, whatever, your partners. It doesn't matter. It is okay to be that. And I do not see enough of that type of content on the internet at all. Yeah, I might see the occasional couples photo of two queer people kissing each other, or two a Black family loving on each other. That's all great. But when it comes to the things about expressing the sexuality, meaning engaging in full-on sex with a partner and being erotic with them, there's a huge lack of that. However, there is content out there that you can easily find that shows that with Black people and people of different races, because it's okay for us to be empathetic and show love and value to someone of a different race, but it's not okay for us to do that with ourselves, with people of similar backgrounds. And it's time for us to understand and acknowledge that is not okay.
Right. I agree with that. And going back to something that you were saying, like, you know, being soft in your non-romantic relationships, not only your romantic relationships. I mean, number one, safe space, you should be soft there. You should be showing people affection, or at least learning how to do so, and hopefully your partner is making that a safe space for you, and vice versa. But also in your personal relationships, you know, with your family, with your friends, like, tell your homeboy that you love them. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, because love is not just a romantic thing. Love is a verb. Like, love is action. You need to be showing people and telling people, like, if you really care about somebody, that you love them, or at the very least that you care about them. How is it that you have this, you know, oh, this is my oldest friend. We went to middle school together. Okay, y'all went to middle school together, and now you're 35. Have y'all been through some shit? I'm sure. But have you ever told each other, like, yo, I care about you. I don't want to see you going through this, or, you know, especially during those moments, but also, like, hey, man, I just want to let you know that I love you. You know, I got love for you. I care about you as a person. Like, we've been through some shit, and you know, and I've come to care about you, and I come to care about your opinion, this, that, and the third. Like, being there for a person and telling them that you love them, there's nothing weak about it. Love is the strongest and the highest form of energy that there is. It's very healing, but you need to tell people that. You know, let's not forget about the whole giving people their flowers while they're still here. Like, don't wait until somebody's gone before you say out loud that you love somebody. You know, if COVID showed us anything, is that life is way too short in the first place.
That
so
works.
That should be even more reason for you to tell somebody that is not your romantic partner that you love and care about them. You know, and of course, everybody's not affectionate, you know, for different reasons. So, you know, if hugging is not your thing with your family, with your friends, dap them up, but at least show that affection, show that appreciation, show that love, that affection in whatever way is comfortable for the both of you, so that people know that you care about them. It's not soft, it's not weak. Crying is not weak. It's a human emotion. We are all humans. So you're allowed to do so. So I think for us, you know, just like rewriting what that narrative looks like, you know, just like we have with Black mental health and going to therapy and counseling and things like that, like there's still work to be done. You know, go cry. Cry is good. Crying is actually really good for you. It's cleansing. It's cathartic. All of those good things. But like learning how to be soft in those ways and knowing that it's okay. You know, we don't have to be like our parents and grandparents and all those people who came before us that, you know, okay, we got to be these strong, hard people. Like we've done that for so long. We've carried so much shit. Like our generations, we've carried so much shit for so long. Like it's okay to put that down. Like we don't need to carry that no more. We got to carry enough just being ourselves in this, you know, in this generation as it is. So we don't have to carry that. Put that down. We don't have to do it. It's okay to be a little bit freer and to set boundaries and, you know, not feel like you're obligated for a lot of things. I speak of that from personal experience, but, you know, like there's so much that's been put on us and that we've been trying to like, you know, reimagine how things are, but we have to go through that again. It's really time to reimagine what and rewrite the way things are right now, because it just doesn't fit anymore.
I agree.
It really doesn't. It doesn't fit anymore. And also about Black Touch, I didn't know about them. I was going to mention it, but I didn't know about them. Like I think that's probably one of the only places that I've seen that, regardless of the social network that I've seen it, or social platform that I've seen it on. You know, I've seen it that, not like their specific page, but people taking their images, their videos and stuff like that, and, you know, being like, oh my god, that was really good, I love that. Oh, and they've got their little watermark at the bottom. I was like, perfect, I love that they're out there. We definitely need more of that too, though. You know, like, hey, we take over spaces all the time, y'all. Let this be one of it. I think it'll be the one that's, you know, that one is necessary, but necessary for a lot of different ways, reasons, and that's going to do the most good. So right. I think we should take over there too.
I agree. But on that note, let's get into a would you rather. We are definitely over time, so we're going to do this one and then I'll close this out. But it's perfectly fine. Would you rather have sex on live television or never have sex ever again?
What? It's going to go ahead and be live TV for me. Yeah. Why would I never have sex again? That's terrible. It's bad for your health anyway.
Look, I will tell them, go ahead and press broadcast, bitch. What's going on? Like,
all right, because I can't see the people watching me. It's just me and this person in the room. I don't know who's going to watch it.
Exactly. Enjoy.
If your mind is in the right space anyway, you don't know about half the shit going on in the room. Just put the music on and let's go.
Let's go at it. I don't, like, where are you going to put the cameras? I don't want to see them. That's all, because it's going to distract me. I don't want to look at the camera.
I don't need
I'm trying to be experiencing.
Exactly. I don't need a film crew in here. I mean, unless you're, you know, for anybody else that might be into exhibitionism. I mean, hey, good for you, but I don't need the camera crew in here. Just set the cameras up and just let me go. Let us go, because never have sex again. Are you kidding?
Exactly. I don't know who. I may not be in the exhibitionist, but look, if they clip it, they share it, oh well, I did it. Listen, I will own up to it. Yeah, that was me. Right. I'm in the video. That's me.
I'm in the video. Yeah, that was me. Yep. That's me.
That's me. Like, what you thought? What you thought was going to happen? Right. I was going to be ashamed?
Right. Shit, I might be the person that's just like, hey, let me just write a little disclaimer. Y'all are probably going to see some things out there and you're going to wonder if that's me in a video doing X, Y, and Z. And the answer is yes. If you have any questions, let me know. And that's it.
I'm sure, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or what, but I feel like I already made that disclaimer. There was a video that someone took of me and we were having sex, so the sex was good. And I don't know if they shared it online or not. But if you find it, you see it, share that shit with me because I want to see if it's some good content. Because first, if it's not good, I'm suing. If it's good, we are okay. We are okay.
I'm suing anyway because you didn't have my permission, but then I'm going to flip it and make it a positive and put that content out for my damn self.
You ain't making money off of me. You're not making money off of my body if I'm not seeing that money too. I don't give a damn.
No, sir. I'm going to need all the royalties. Thank you very much. I'm going to need to cut all of that proceeds.
I don't get why these people be signing up to get fucked by these content creators and not signing fucking contracts. I would Thank not. You. Bitch, Thank you're you. Making money off of me. I'm helping contribute to what you are giving to your audience. How much am I getting? I accept 10%, 15 to 20, 25. Which one are you most comfortable with? 10 is at the minimum, bitch. That's
right. Exactly.
Don't go below. Right. Like, what are we doing here? Because what we're not going to do is act like I'm free labor. I'm a trained actor, motherfucker. We do contracts. I'm an extra in this motherfucker.
You know what?
Hey.
You know what's funny? This is how I know that we are definitely on our, definitely on our journey with sex coaching. So I was thinking, I was thinking of a situation recently, of a sexual situation recently, and in that imagery, in the imagination, somewhere along the line, I had put in there that, oh, you know what, I'd probably send this person a contract or these two people a contract or whatever via email. Hey, before we get to the house, I need you guys to go ahead and read through this and sign it. You'll get your electronic copies later. I was like, what? I never would have thought about shit like that until I started like going through the program to even become a sex coach. And now I'm just like, oh no, we need these kinds of contracts for X, Y, and Z and NDA. I never would have thought about shit like that until now.
We're not playing these
That's why they like getting fucked by content creators. They think they're about to be popular. Meanwhile,
you got the wrong motherfucker. Can I record us having sex? No, you cannot.
Right. Sign this napkin.
What are we doing here? What do you think was going to happen? No, you're not recording out of damn. Be it you put that on social media or you keep down your little spank bank. I don't care.
Right.
I need to know how this is going to be you.
Your private Discord group or Patreon or whatever. No.
Look, the only time I usually send news is if it's through one of those apps that keep those motherfuckers blocked. You can't screenshot a damn. You can see and enjoy these news or whatever you want to do. You screenshot what's going to happen. You get another screen that's not my body. You tried it, bitch.
A blank screen. Like trying to screenshot in Zoom, depending on whatever settings you have. Yeah, you try to screenshot in Zoom, it'll give you a black page that you screenshot. It won't show you shit. So
not a damn.
I agree.
Fuck around with those arounds. You need to know who you're fucking with, and I'm a star. Thank you. on that note, Nicole, do you have any last words that you would like to share with the audience before I close this out?
You know what? Not much, but you know, hey, if you are interested in my services or you just want to see some of my dope ass content, including previous podcast episodes of this and other podcasts I've been on, head over to my website. That is www.melanatedvixen.com. That's Vixen with two X's. Or my IG at @melanated_vixen or TikTok and Facebook of Melanated Vixen. And go check me out. Peace. Be safe.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, Nicole. I greatly appreciate you. And to the audience out there, before I go into that, thank you all so much for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. And just in case no one else told you this today, you are beautiful, you are worthy of happiness and joy, you are enough and then some. You may not live up to the expectations of others, but that is okay. You are only required to walk in your own shoes. May each day you live lead you towards abundance. With that said, love you all and see you next episode. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. You can subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting app and find us on the web at www.holiloquy.com. That's www.HEAUXLILOQUY.com. share the podcast with your friends, and join the conversation.